the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower, and on today's show, we're going to cover a wide variety of topics. In fact, these are issues that could potentially sabotage your retirement. These are mistakes, some of them common, some not thought of until it's too late. Mistakes that can turn anyone's retirement upside down, or worse, it could leave you broke at the end of your life. So we're going to cover 10 common mistakes. There are probably more, but for the sake of this episode, we want to cover the main ones and hopefully alert you to these booby traps that could cause you financial harm. So planning for retirement, we all know that's not easy. There are really a lot of financial decisions that have to be made, including decisions about your health. We want to try to cover health issues here from diets, ways to keep fit, avoiding disease, even including devices that can aid or even help you monitor your health. So today we're going to focus on financially related issues. So Jim, let's begin with the first mistake.
Well, the first mistake should not come as a surprise to anyone who has listened to this program over the last couple of years. It really begins, Chris, with not having a plan. Now, many people just retire, or even worse, they're forced to retire either as a result of, let's say, you get laid off. Think of all the people that lost their jobs in the Great Recession. Or something comes up, for example, poor health. You would never take a road trip or a vacation without having a plan as to how you're going to get there, the cost of the trip, where you're going to plan to stay, and where you're going to visit. Now, according to a new study done by the Employee Benefit Research Institute, 56% of all workers have less than $25,000 of savings outside of the equity in their home when they retire. You don't want to be one of those statistics.
Well, it's a sobering statistic, but is it an easy fix, Jim, or is it something that really is quite complex?
Hard as hell, Chris. No, it is. I mean, you need to sit down with a certified financial planner. You make a detailed retirement plan. And in that plan, you're going to cover everything from insurance, car insurance, liability insurance, disability, life insurance, your savings, investments, things like your estate plan or taxes. So here's the important thing. You're trying to put together a roadmap that you plan to follow. Now, most people find that once they make a plan, it's not nearly as bad as they thought. It's much easier. And more importantly, they sleep at night knowing they have a roadmap to retirement security. They now have a plan that helps kind of reinforce, gives you the incentive for savings, guides you in your investment decisions, and you avoid the costly mistakes like spending too much, not taking advantage of retirement plan options, paying too much in taxes, or even worse, making bad choices when it comes to Social Security and Medicare.
That being the case, let's move on to the next landmine that you want to avoid.
You know, the next one, and this is very simple. It's not saving enough. This involves not having a budget, not watching what you spend. If you don't save either through, let's say, a retirement plan at work, which should be, by the way, your first choice, or maybe saving personally, you'll have very, very few options when you retire and when you could be forced into retirement either by losing your job or poor health. Now, one of the first choices for savings, we talk about this a lot here, would be to take advantage of your employer-provided retirement plan. Your contributions, here's the great thing, are tax deductible. And with this last tax law where they removed a lot of your tax deductions, remember, the money you put into retirement plan comes right off the top. So in many cases, if you have a plan at work, your savings are doubled as a result of, let's say, employer matching contributions, not to mention the tax benefits. So in this case, you win both ways. You save on taxes and you get additional money that comes from matching contributions from your employer. And by the way, the earlier you start, the more options and the better retirement you're going to enjoy.
And the fact that so many Americans just don't save or take advantage of retirement plans, it's hard for me to get over to that, Jim. What would you say would be the next issue then that we need to address?
You know, the next issue is a difficult one, but it can really mess up the best laid plans for retirement. And this involves going heavily in debt to finance your children's college education. I just want you to stop and think about that as I continue, because I've seen more parents take out things like home equity loans. They take out second mortgages on their homes to finance juniors' college education. And this is usually done, when you think about it, when your kids start college, you're usually probably in your late 40s, early 50s. And that means you're about 10 to 15 years in that pre-retirement stretch when you should be maximizing your pension contributions along with your personal savings. Instead, what I've seen, parents take on a load of debt, use up their home equity, which really sets them back financially. My favorite program, and one that I've used with my own three sons, is what I call my 2 plus 2 program. The way it works, 2 years at a junior college, you can get that for about $2,500 a year, then on to a state university, and by the way, living at home while you have a job. You can get this done for probably under $30,000. Your kid helps pay for it through, number one, staying at home so you're not having to pay room and board, and by the way, having a job. More importantly, you don't take on any debt, and junior graduates from college with no student loans. One of the biggest issues facing millennials today is they are saddled with tens of thousands of dollars of debt. And Chris, you know this, in our own office, we have two interns working in our office that have done just that. One has already graduated, and one will graduate this May and become a certified financial planner. Neither of them have any student debt. That is a great way to start their working careers. More importantly, their parents haven't had to go into debt to finance their college.
It really is the way to go, Jim. And for those that have kids, you may want to have them listen to this episode as well. And Jim, we've talked about the importance of saving for retirement, either personally or through a pension plan. But what about investments? What about how in terms of making investment decisions at different stages of your life?
You know, I've seen, boy, when it comes to this, I've seen some real doozies when it comes to making investment decisions. Everything from, you know, you name it, get-rich schemes, investing too conservatively, or investing on the opposite end of the spectrum too aggressively. Now, if you were young, listening to this program, starting out, putting money away each month, and say, for example, you have a 401k program at work, you should be investing in the stock market. Because at your age, that percentage, you know, you could be almost 100% invested. You're 25 years old. That's exactly what you should be doing. Now, you might say, but what do I do in a bear market? Well, look at it this way. If stocks are going down every single month, the money you put in is going to be buying more shares at lower prices. And you know what? 20 years from now, 30 years from now, all you care about is how many shares that you own. Now, as you age, that percentage should be reduced, and then reduced dramatically shortly before you retire. Normally, we like to see people really de-risk somewhere around 5 years before you retire, because you don't want to experience what we call sequence risk, which is our next risk. When you are young, you can afford to take risks. You can ride out a bear market or a recession, but you should not be taking a great risk the closer you get to actually retiring. For example, we've seen two major bear markets in the last decade that produced losses of over 50%. For example, the bear market between 2007 and 2009, the S&P 500 lost 58%. Now, if you went invested in stocks from the year 2000 to the year 2013, stocks went virtually nowhere. They went down for 2 years, then in the summer of 2002, they went up for another 5 years, and then 2007 to 2009, you gave it all back, and it wasn't until April of 2013 you were actually in the black again. So we are now 10 years into this bull market, and sooner rather than later, we're going to have another bear market. Now, the politicians and the Federal Reserve will tell you, well, you know, we've got things under control. Well, I hate to say it, but the government or the Fed have not repealed the business cycle. So you don't want to suffer another 40 to 50% loss just before you retire and then see a dramatic loss in your lifetime of savings. And another issue I see a lot is individuals that get, let's say they're 5 to 10 years away from retirement, and retirement is really staring them in the face, and they're saying, oh my God, I just don't have enough money. And so what they do is they start taking big risks, kind of like doubling down. I'm going to go for, you know, high returns and big returns because I need to make up because I simply don't have enough. And I've seen it so many times. They get involved, like, for example, heavily investing in gold in 2011 when gold was going to 1900, or things like Bitcoin. We actually had a client who pulled $200,000 out of his IRA rollover from another company and put it in Bitcoin when it was at 17,000. He was convinced it was going to 30 to 50. Well, we all know what happened. It did go to 19, so he probably looked smart initially, but now it's below $4,000. So if you haven't saved enough, consider some other alternatives. For example, working longer in order to save more. You don't want to be making high-risk bets or sold investments that promise extraordinary returns. I always love them too because they're always extraordinary. And by the way, they're safe. Yeah, you bet. If it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Which brings me to a related risk just before you retire, which is sequence risk. And that is the risk of going through a major bear market when your investments can lose as much as 50 to 60% of their value as they did in 2000. And in 2008. Now, why that's important, if you are on some kind of systematic withdrawal program, let's say you're taking out 3 or 4% of your principal, you don't want to be doing that when your investments are dropping 20 to 25% annually, as they did in the year 2000 and 2008. So as you get closer to retirement, you should have a greater portion of your portfolio in liquid, safe investments, everything from, let's say, short-term high-quality corporate bonds, short-term treasuries, certificates of deposit, annuities. And if you are going to be in blue-chip stocks or the stock market, you're better off in what I call safe blue chips, like utilities or REITs or consumer staples that pay good dividends. And more importantly, they're less susceptible to an economic downturn.
And these are things that I think do give people peace of mind as we go through what these pitfalls can be. But let's make sure we've covered all the bases, Jim. What's next on that list of pitfalls to avoid?
Oh boy, this is a big one. This is, you want to avoid retiring too soon. You know, you may have a lot of money. I mean, think of Chris, if you had a lot of money in the year 2000 and maybe you were 62 and you said, you know, the market had been going up 20% a year, I'm going to retire. So you're going to retire at age 62, you take your Social Security early, and look what happened. The stock market lost 50% of its value and then went up for another 5 years, and then you gave back 60% of it. The average retirement lifespan, and here's something you need to think about. A couple age 65 is likely to live 20 to 25 years in your retirement. Now, what does that mean? It means your assets have to last you for a longer period of time, and especially in those later years when medical expenses are much higher. You are also going to be subject to the ravages of inflation. Now, retirees are subject to higher inflation rates due to one main reason: rising medical costs due to aging. Now, couples who retire too early often make another mistake, which is a big one, taking their Social Security benefits at age 62. Now, if you do that, your benefit is going to be reduced by 25%. Let me give you an example, and it dramatically illustrates the mistake, how big of a mistake this could be in your retirement. Let's say that full retirement age today is anywhere from age 66 to 67, depending on your age. But let's suppose your full retirement age would be 66. What I mean by that is if you wait until age 66, your benefits will not be reduced by 25%. So, for example, if your benefits at age, let's say, 66 would be $2,200, by taking those benefits early at age 62, that reduces that benefit by $550 a month. That's $6,600 a year. But wait a minute. It also reduces your wife's benefit by $275 a month, or she gets half a year's, so she would get half of yours at a lower rate. And that's another $3,300. The combined loss of benefits is almost $10,000 a year. Now, it gets worse if you figure if you could, let's say, work part-time or, let's say, extend taking your Social Security to age 70, when the benefits will go up 32%, that $2,200 at age 70 goes from $2,200 at age 26 to $2,900 a month. And then also your wife's income would go up to $1,450. She would get half of that. By taking benefits early, you forgo a benefit of an additional $22,500 a year. Now, let me put this in perspective. At today's current interest rates in the 3% range, you would need $750,000 to make up the difference between taking your benefits at age 62 or waiting till you take your benefits to age 70. Think about that for a moment. $750,000.
Well, it really pays to know small differences can make such a big difference over time. And, you know, I've heard you and actually many of our guests here on the show discuss making wrong decisions on Social Security. It's just a shame that more people aren't educated about their Social Security benefits or the choices that are available. We would just encourage all of our listeners, go to socialsecurity.gov, G-O-V, and read the publication section, specifically the ones that I'd really like to direct your attention to. There's one titled Understanding the Benefits, another that's just simply the word retirement, and finally, What Every Woman Should Know. And also, use the benefit and retirement calculator. It's free, and it's very informative. I found it to be well worth the time spent.
You know, we've had Yolanda York here, and we usually try to get her on the program a couple times a year. But I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because if you go to the Social Security site, go to the publications. Oh, my goodness, they've got just about everything you can think of, from signing up for Medicare to Social Security to disability to survivor benefits, things that can maximize your benefit. They even have a Social Security calculator. You can put in your earnings, and it's going to tell you, for example, what you're going to get. It'll illustrate the point we just talked about, what your benefit would be if you take it early at age 62 versus taking it at age 66, which is full retirement, and or delaying it to age 70. Basically, get a good sense of what those benefits are going to be. And it's all free. They got retirement calculators. Everything you need to know is on that website in a publication, and especially for you ladies that are out there, because 85% of the survivors on Social Security are you women. So it's very important that, you know, you and your husband really discuss this and make the proper decisions when it comes to choosing your Medicare and your Social Security benefits. Now, I want to move on to a couple other areas that could be just as problematic. One is moving at the wrong time or to the wrong place. Now, many times people, let's say, relocate based on a couple of specific factors. For example, lower housing costs, lower taxes. And then what they find out, they discover other costs that eat into their cost of savings. Had a couple that moved to Texas and were blown away by 3% property taxes. Just because things look, let's say, low, you know, there are a number of other things that can increase costs that are not factored in. You know, another one I see happen a lot, I just had a client do this one, and it really turned out to be poorly. And that is moving to a place that is closer to, let's say, the kids and the grandkids. You move there, and guess what? They move. You know, so, you know, you move to some place, and you think, gosh, we want to see our grandkids, want to be near our kids. Then all of a sudden, the husband or the wife gets transferred. There's also the what we call the loneliness factor of moving to a new location and basically starting over, trying to make new friends versus the lifelong friends you just left. And it's not just about housing and taxes. Our own firm has done a comprehensive study on the best places to retire. We take a look at quality of life, medical, college, housing costs, taxes, sales taxes. Remember, it's not just income taxes. For example, the state of Washington has no state income taxes. Sounds great, doesn't it? Until you find out they have a 20% estate tax. These are the things you want to consider when you're getting ready to move. You know, some of the things you want to look at. Nearness and convenience of what I call high-quality medical care, including, for example, the availability of specialists for common age-related conditions such as heart disease, cancer, or Alzheimer's. Access to public transportation in case driving becomes difficult as you get older. cost of travel to visit adult children and other family and friends. In other words, being close to an international airport if you have to fly across the country. And also a downtown area with walking distance that can provide, let's say, a satisfying cultural and social life, maybe the theater or good restaurants. Availability of senior services such as adult daycare programs, subsidized transportation, and in-home care. And another thing, a strong economy with potential employers should you change your mind and choose or need to work part-time. So, Chris, this is just a partial list of the things that you need to look in. You know, sometimes it's all about, oh, okay, the housing's cheaper. Okay, that's great. The taxes are, I just mentioned, you know, you pay no income taxes in the state of Washington, but you have probably the highest estate tax rates that start at a little over $1 million that, you know, can go up to 20%. So a lot of times you find out these things after you've moved.
So we got through 9 out of the 10. What would you say is the final pitfall that folks should avoid?
You know, this is really a big one, and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. It's underestimating medical expenses as you age. It's one of the reasons we try to cover a lot of health-related issues here, because we don't want you to save your entire life and you hit retirement, and then you have poor health and you can't enjoy it. Not only that, you're going to probably end up spending a whole wad of money you didn't plan on. Now, the national figure, this is published by Fidelity. Every single year they update it. Gosh, when we first started doing this program, it was down $220,000. Today it's $280,000 for a couple age 65 over their retirement. Now, that is roughly about $11,000 a year. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm in good health, I'm 65, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, this is based on a lifespan of 20 to 25 years spent in retirement. Believe me, sooner or later down the road, I don't know what age, you're going to have additional medical expenses. Especially, they begin after age 75 when medical issues become more important. You've got Medicare and Medigap insurance, which keeps rising, and I hate to tell you, but the government is going to put more and more of those cost burdens on you. You're going to have more out-of-pocket expenses from Medicare, Medigap premiums to out-of-pocket expenses for procedures to drugs. And by the way, this does not include the cost of long-term care. People mistakenly think that Medicare covers everything, which it doesn't. Insurance companies are starting, even when you buy Medigap insurance, they're not covering as much as they used to. And what that does, it leaves a gap in medical coverage. So you have to think about these expenses and also about longevity with increased lifespans due to medical technology, and especially if longevity runs in your family and you're in good health. When you're thinking about this, when I say $280,000, if you're putting together a retirement budget, you should be putting aside a minimum of $11,000 a year. Set that aside in a savings account to be used and budgeted for out-of-pocket medical expenses as you get older. Now, if you qualify before you retire, putting money aside in a health savings account so later on that money can be used for medical expenses, and guess what? It grows tax-free, and if you pull it out and use it for medical expenses, you owe no taxes. And finally, I guess this is another one that happens and hits a lot of people. I call it the post-retirement spending spike. Many retirees are surprised to find out that they're actually ending up spending more money during their early retirement years. You retire, they begin doing all those things you were dying to do when you were working, from traveling, playing golf more often, joining a country club, fixing up the house, maybe there's new hobbies. And let's not forget the expensive toys like an RV or a boat. They spend way, way too much, especially on toys, taking money from capital they will need later on to live on. So, Chris, it's this simple. Have yourself a plan. You would never think about taking a road trip or a vacation. Or heck, if you're taking a vacation and you're going someplace, you're going to plan the trip. You're going to find out, you know, where you're flying to, what the cost is, where you're going to stay, what you're going to be doing, and what your expenses are going to be. Don't you think you owe yourself to do the same thing about your own retirement? I think you do.
Well, it's a good point, Jim, and you've covered really all the key points people should be focused on. So let's go ahead and sum them up. There's 10 of them. The first one is not having a retirement plan. Number two, not saving enough or using retirement plans. Number three, poor investment choices. Number four, sequence risk. And number five, going into debt. to finance kids' college. The sixth one is retiring too soon. Number seven, poor Social Security decisions. Number eight is underestimating medical expenses. Number nine, moving to the wrong place at the wrong time. And finally, number 10, the post-retirement spending spike. And let me just remind everyone that these problems, all of them, can be avoided by meeting with a CFP, a certified financial planner, and just putting together a retirement plan that guides you and prepares you for retirement. So it's not just going to prepare and guide you. It also gives you maybe the most important thing, which is peace of mind. And if there's anyone listening right now that doesn't have that, well, let me give you our number for the office. It is 888-486-3939, and we'll make sure that a CFP sit down with you and put together a plan that, sure, it'll plan and prepare you for retirement, but it'll give you that peace of mind.
In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here in Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.